You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
A series at the moment talking about healthy relationships, and so we've got today and then we've got one more, and then we're going to be starting a new series called Resurrected Hope. And so keep that in prayer. We're going to start that. That's going to be running for a few weeks, and we're going to be doing some stuff, but we're back to this week talking about healthy relationships. And as advertised, we're going to talk about healthy marriage. And you don't want to miss next week. We're going to talk about having a healthy family, and then that's it. We've gone through the whole thing. We started with a healthy heart, healthy people, healthy courtship, healthy weddings, today's healthy marriage. And so after this, if you cannot have a healthy relationship, then we need to lay hands on you, do some extra stuff. I want to say this. Marriage is an amplifier, and I want to illustrate some of this. So I've got this couple here. Amen. No joke. Okay, so we got a box here. Let's pull that out. Okay, and so put that paper up there. And so this is. I want to illustrate. How many? Can you see this box? No, you can't see it. So we put it on here. Is that better? But then we can't see the beauty. Okay. All right. Amen. And that's out of the way. Wonderful. Okay. So what I've done is I've given them some paper here, and I want to illustrate what a marriage is. And so. Let's introduce them. Your name is?
Adrian.
Amen. Give them a round of applause. This is, amen. And your name is?
Tara.
Amen. And so, you guys, how long you guys been married? Come on, bro. You ain't getting no dinner tonight.
3 years, 10 months.
3 years, 10 months. Listen, he knew exactly, yeah? He was just trying to play like, yeah. He knows, he was like, 3 years, 10 months, 2 weeks, 1 day, 1 hour. He knows. Don't worry, don't get it twisted. He knows. And so, happily married. And so, marriage is like this box. This is what marriage is. Marriage is like this empty box. And basically, what you put in is what you're going to get out. That's what it is. So what we're going to do is we want them to write some things down. We want them to write some kind of bad things down. We're going to go with some bad things first. And so have you got a pen? Is there another pen? Don't worry. We didn't rehearse this, so obviously you can tell. Amen. And so if we write on one of those, anger, yeah? And maybe someone else, you can write at the same time. Write, what else should we write? Bitterness. Amen. And so this is how marriage is. So hold up your thing. Okay, it's far, but maybe you can see that. Okay, screw it up. Screw it up. Put it in your box. Can we do some more? What? Give us some stuff that would be negative for a marriage. Pride. Okay, someone said pride and someone said jealous. Okay, pride and jealousy. And so these are things that are going into the marriage. I don't need that lid. Let's put that in there. Okay, you got it in there. It's proven. And so the point I make is this, is that when people get married, people think that somehow when I get married, it's gonna fix all my problems. When I get married, I'm going to enter into marriage, and then as I enter into marriage, I'm just going to live happily ever after. And so what happens is people in their marriage, they put things into their marriage. They put in pride. They put in jealousy. They put in all of these things. And so what it happens is as they're in their marriage now, when they've got to dip into their marriage, this is the only thing they can dip into, what they've put in. When they dip into it, when they go through things, what they find is jealousy. Or if they go in there, they're going to see, okay, what do we have here? Bitterness. And it's at this point when people start to call the pastor. It's at this point when people start to say, listen, I don't think this marriage thing is working. Pastor, you guessed us up. I don't think I was ready. I don't think so-and-so is the right person. And then the pastor says, no, stick at it, keep at it, pray. And so they dip back into it again. Pride.
What's the one? What's the last one? Let's just go back in it. Oh yeah, this is a big one.
Anger. And so what happens is people get disillusioned with marriage. I want to say to every single one of you here, married or single, planning to get married, marriage is an empty box. And so let's do one more task now. Let's put in there, write on there, love. Write on patience. See, what you put in is what you're going to get out. This is very simple. This illustration, you'd be like, yeah, we know what's going to happen. Let's put in kindness and let's put in forgiveness. And so when you get married, you realize, hold up, I better start putting some nice stuff in there. See, maybe you've been married a while and you've been getting some of this. Well, let me tell you the hope today. Don't throw the box away. It's not the box that's doing it. It's what you're putting in the box. And so now they've changed. They've gone for counseling and they've allowed God to challenge them. They're putting things in. They've become spiritual people now. And so now there's some kindness going on. Put your arm around it. Show some kindness. Oh, look at that. That's a marriage you want, man. Look at it here. There's some love. Okay, we're going to move on. I don't know how he was going to do it. I was getting scared. There he's gone. Okay. Forgiveness. Some forgiveness there. Say I forgive you, Tim. Go on. Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. Because the man always needs some forgiveness. Amen. And what else we got in there? And so we got some patience here. And so this is what marriage is about. This is where I want to start. That's my illustration. Give them a round of applause. That was just the introduction, man. Listen, people that have healthy marriages understand this. You have to understand this principle that marriage is an empty box and you're going to get out of it what you put in it. Look at someone and say, you're going to get out what you put in. Let's go to the Word of God. Proverbs 12 verse 18. The Bible says this. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword. How many of nobody here just wants to be pierced by a sword? That's not what I want, like you to pierce me with a sword. And so the Bible says, some people, their words and what they speak is like being pierced with a sword. That's not what we want. I just have to put that out there. Then the Bible says, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. We're talking about having a healthy marriage. Let's just pray and invite God into this place, God's Spirit, to speak to us and prepare our hearts for the Word. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace and your mercy, your love, your kindness. Father, I pray that you would move in this place. I pray, Father, you would save those that are lost. Father, I pray you would establish the new convert. And Father, bring home the backslider. Strengthen the saints, Father. I pray that you would speak to us. Father, help us in our marriages and even help those that are single or engaged, ready to get married. Father, I ask you right now, most of all, over everything, to glorify your Son, Jesus Christ, in our sight. We ask you this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, and the real church said with a loud voice, amen. Let me speak about this healthy marriage. A healthy marriage is filled with healthy words. A healthy marriage is filled with healthy words. And what we're talking about is healthy communication. The Bible said in our text, the tongue of the wise promotes health. And so when it speaks about the tongue, it speaks about the words that you have, the words that you speak, the words that you traffic in. Your words are going to promote health in life. And this is even more and more true in a relationship. See, we're talking about having a healthy marriage. Healthy marriage comes from healthy relationships. That's the reality. You cannot have a healthy marriage unless you have a healthy relationship. The best marriages are when people are not just married, but they're not just legally married, but they're actually best friends. Me and my wife are best friends. That's the reality. We are best friends. And so I have good friends, but my wife is my closest friend. She is my closest friend. She knows more about me than anyone else. I know more about her than anybody else. We're both in each other's corner. We don't pull each other down because that would be stupid. Because that would be like being in a football team and fouling one of your own fellow players. How many know if the team loses, you lose? That's why it's insane when husbands put their wife down. Don't you know you're putting yourself down? Don't you know that you're tearing yourself down? That's the most foolish thing. That's why it's crazy when women put their husband down. Hey, he don't know. Listen, you don't know. But you're moving your neck about he don't know. You better know something because you're a team. You're on the same side. And so you got to have a healthy marriage comes from a healthy relationship. So if someone was to ask me, Pastor, you guys seem to, you've been married a while and things are looking well. Yeah, because we have a friendship. We have a friendship. You've got to make a friendship with somebody that you're going to be married to. But a friendship is always fueled. A healthy friendship comes from healthy words. Healthy communication. You've got to have healthy communication. If you don't have this communication, then things go wrong. I want to say, when communication dies, the relationship will die. Once people stop talking, how many know it won't be long that the relationship is breaking down? A lack of communication in the marriage is the problem many times. Now, this is very surprising to many couples is because when they were dating, they couldn't stop talking to each other. When they were dating, they would talk all the time. People that are dating, if you're dating here or you can't even understand how married people don't talk. Because when you were dating, you would talk all the time. I've said it so many times over the pulpit. But when I was dating my wife, EE or T-Mobile at the time hadn't brought out those free call contracts, man. So I'm calling my wife, I'm paying for it, man. Okay. But it was worth it. It was worth it, babe. But I remember one month, my bill was £400. I mean, look at someone, he said he got it bad. Because people, when they're dating, they're talking. But the problem is, they get married, and then they're like, but I don't understand, we don't communicate. But we talk so much. Can I say to you today, because talking is easy, communication is hard. Talking is easy, communicating is hard. Okay, think about this now. You're all here looking at me. What am I about to say? Nobody here? No one knows? No prophets, prophetess? The reality is you don't know. Because whatever's in here, you wouldn't know what it is until I communicate it. Nobody knows what's inside of a person. Even the Bible says. The reality is only a man knows his own spirit. See, this is the importance of communication. Communication is not just talking. It's actually letting the other person know what's on the inside of you. It's actually letting the other person know what's going on inside of you. See, I can talk, but I'm actually not sharing myself with you. I can be talking about silly things. And this is the problem many times when we date, is that we talk about silly things, but we're not communicating. And that's why we can talk, because we're really not dealing with these bigger issues. See, when it comes to the deeper issues, the stronger things of life, that is a lot harder to communicate. This is why when you're on the job, if you've ever been on the job and people know you're a Christian and you start to tell people, they kind of shut down. They're like, yeah, but we don't know religion here. And people many times, they'll say things that we don't want to talk about on the job. They don't want to talk about politics because usually it becomes an argument. Because when you have a political persuasion, that's something you really believe in. So, no, we don't talk about that. They don't want to talk about religion because that's something that we're usually passionate about. So we don't want to talk about that because it's easy. We don't want to talk about money. How much do you get paid? I get paid. Because if you find out they get paid more than you get paid, that causes problems. So when it comes to things that we are really caring about, to talk to people is difficult. To communicate them is difficult. But that's why, so in the workplace, what they say, just have chit-chat. Let's talk about things that are not really mean anything because it's easy to talk. See, you got to learn to communicate. In your marriage, you've got to learn to speak wise words in your marriage. See, the ability to communicate is really revealed when you disagree with one another. See, it's easy to get on with people when you agree. This is why people can date and they look like the best couple in the world because they both go to the same restaurants. We like it. They're in agreement. They both want to wear the same tracksuit. We're in agreement. Instagram. Selfies. We're in agreement. We listen to the same worship. We like the same things. We're all the same. And so everything is going well. Then you get married and you go, you get to know that person more than the surface. You go deeper now. And when you get deeper into knowing somebody, you're going to find things in them that disagree with things that are deep in you. There are things in them that disagree with you. Me and my wife, we love each other. We have a good marriage. But there's things we disagree on. There's things that we naturally disagree on. There's things that she thinks is right, and there's things I know is right. I'm only joking. Not a joke. That was a joke. That was a joke. That was a joke. That was a joke. Amen. I want to get dinner tonight. Amen. That was a joke. Amen. But that's the reality, is that there's differences here. It's all like, oh, Pastor, you look so, you've been married for 13 years and you're always getting on, and you and Francis, you love each other and all of these things. You know, I was staying in Reading from Friday. So Friday night I was in Reading because I'm preaching. Saturday night, each night I'm calling my wife. We talk every night. And so we just, how's the day been? What's going on? And so I saw my wife now. So I haven't seen her since Friday. And the thing that we both said to each other, oh, I've missed you. We've only been away for a few days. And so we do love each other. We do miss each other. But I will say this. There are many things that we disagree on. There are many things that we disagree on. But what this is, how do you resolve it then? It's because we've learned to communicate. Is that we can communicate. Because ultimately we understand the principles that of our life is Jesus first. See, It's not the things that are going on around us that are important. It's the thing that we say is most important is Jesus. And we both want to glorify Jesus. But we've had to learn to communicate. When there is difficulties, that's what reveals your communication. You know, the Bible says this in Luke 6, verse 37. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Jesus speaking, if you love people that love you, so how does that make you anything? He says, for even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. The Bible says that when people get on with you and are nice to you, and you're nice to them, anybody can do that. The skill of communication is that what do we do when we disagree? Now let me speak about two kind of words or two sayings or two things that will bring healing. Because that's what the text said. It says, you know what? The wise, the tongue of the wise, the speech of the wise, it brings healing. And so what we want to put into our marriage is these healing words. The first word, very simple. If you want to bring healing into your relationships, you need to learn to say sorry. You need to learn to say sorry. You need to know how to say it. Look at someone and say, learn how to say it. After three, we're going to say sorry. One, two, three. Simple. It's not hard to say. But how many know it's hard to say? Huh? It's not hard to say. It's not like, you know, you need elocution lessons to be able to pronunciate it, to project it. This is, you know, this is not that type of word. It's very easy to say the words, I'm sorry. These are healing words. If you want to bring healing to your marriage, whether you're single now or you're married now, and you want to have a good marriage that brings healing, words that bring healing, not a sword that pierces the person, to bring healing is to say, I'm sorry. What that reveals is you have the ability to understand when you offend others. You have the ability. For me to say, I'm sorry to my wife, it admits, you know what? I realize I can offend you. I have the ability to understand I can offend you. Why many marriages cannot be healed is that rather than saying sorry, you know what we do? We defend our motives. We defend our motives. Many times you will offend someone not because you deliberately wanted to offend them. You offend them because sometimes you did deliberately and you should say sorry twice. But many times, you know why we offend people? Because we're humans. We do the wrong thing. We say the wrong thing. Sometimes we can just, you know, just just say things that are just not right when we think they're right. I mean, some, you know, me and my wife always laugh and joke about this. You know, my wife, she likes to go around people and love people and all of these things there. And when she sees ladies, oh, what's going on with you and all of this. And sometimes she's thought that someone was pregnant when they wasn't pregnant. And so how many know? Listen, if we said that to you here, forgive us, amen. We're sorry. But what I'm saying is we can make mistakes. That's not a deliberate thing. Sometimes your spouse is going to rub you the wrong way. That they didn't get up in the morning and be like, ha, 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 ha. Oh, wait till this happens to you. They're planning this thing, this elaborate scheme to wind you. No. They're just being a human. And so many times, rather than saying sorry, what we do is we defend our motives. Well, I didn't mean to do it. Yeah, but you did do it. You know, there's an old saying that we judge others on their actions, but we judge ourselves on our motives. We judge others on their actions. Look what they did to me. We don't care whether they meant it or did. They did it. But then when people say, listen, this is what you did, you say, well, I didn't mean to do it. So you just let me off. No, the word that you're looking for is sorry. And let me tell you this. When we say sorry, it needs to be a genuine sorry. Do you know a fake sorry is worse than no sorry? I'd rather you give me no sorry than a fake sorry. Yeah, sorry. No. Just rewind and go on with yourself. Because I'd rather no sorry. You know when people say, well, if you're offended, then I'm sorry. If you're offended, that's not a sorry. Just say sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What I did was wrong. I'm sorry. Some of you may be asking, Pastor, but who should apologize first? That's a good question. Who should apologize first? Some of you have doctrinized this thing. You've put this thing into theology. Well, I think the man, because he's the leader, he should apologize first. And some men, no, but the woman should submit to the husband, so she should apologize first. I've got the answer here. I've got the answer. Let me tell you. Do you want to know who should apologize first? You want to know? Yeah, you don't want to know. Okay, forget it. Yeah. The one who should apologize first, simple. Homie. The one who is the most spiritual should apologize first. So listen to me, brother. If your wife is more spiritual than you, then you should, wait for her to apologize to you. If you are carnal and unspiritual and fleshy and you do not have the heart of God, then yes, maybe then she should apologize to you because she's more spiritual than you. But what that speaks is you are the problem then because you are the carnal one. Sister, let me speak to some sisters in this place. Listen, sister. If you say, oh, but your husband is more spiritual than you, that you are just carnal and wicked, See, the reality is that if you want to be spiritual, then you apologize. Go and apologize. Just say that simple word. I'm sorry. The Bible says this in James 5, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another. That you may be healed. That you may be healed. Listen, sorry is a healing word. The Bible says the affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Do you know there is something that is connected about our prayer life? That how you respond? When you cannot admit your trespasses, when you cannot confess. The word confession doesn't mean you go in a box. Go in a box, one of those boxes, there's a guy on the other side, he's wearing a big long dress. That's not confession, but the Bible's speaking that here. The word confession here, it means to call things as God say that they are. If something is wrong, say it's wrong. We live in a world today that wants to rebrand wrong. I've said this many times before. Adultery is now called an affair, a fling.
a fling. Like, it's just like, hey, fling me that hat. Like, it's a fling. Listen, that's if I fling something, it's that. It started and it's over. Adultery is not that, and we move on. To do adultery, you have to do a lot more than just that. Adultery. See, we don't like that word, adultery. We want to rebrand it. And that's why these Bible words, they hit me harder. Fornication. Adultery. Sodomite. These words hit us harder. The world don't want to, they want to rebrand everything. But confession is you saying it is what it is. When you come and you say, look, I'm just sorry. I'm sorry. You bring healing. Second phrase, after sorry, learn to say, I forgive you. You need to learn to say, I'm sorry in your marriage. You need to learn to say, I forgive you. These are healing words. Unforgiveness, if it is not, if you have unforgiveness and you're holding on to it, it's going to go off. It's going to turn to bitterness. Some people in their marriage, even when their spouse say, I'm sorry, you still hold on to it. You won't forgive them. They said they're sorry, but you still won't forgive them. If you don't let it go, it's going to turn to bitterness. Unforgiveness left, undealt with, turns to bitterness. And bitterness creates an environment which kills love. You know, you could go to the Caribbean and you could find some type of fruit and a plant that's growing this type of fruit, or maybe South America in a hot climate, tropical climate, and you could bring it back to England and say, I love this type of fruit, and you could put it in your garden. You know what's going to happen? That thing's going to die, because we don't have the environment to support that type of plant. It won't grow. When there is unforgiveness, unforgiveness left breeds bitterness. And bitterness creates an environment where love cannot grow. Love cannot grow in this environment. Recently, just before the revival with Pastor Carnegie, I think it was probably Friday night before the revival started, I was driving back home, and obviously I do a lot of mileage. That, you know, just for me to come here and go home, that's over 30 miles. Every time I come here and go back, I'm doing a lot of mileage. And so as I was driving back, I said to my wife, you hear that noise? And it was like a funny squeaking, scraping noise. And what I realized is, I thought I had a light that would tell me to change my brakes. But something sounds funny. And so the Saturday, I didn't go outreach. I said, you know what, let me not mess up this car. So I go to Quick Fit or something like that. And I speak to the guy, and I said, look, could you look at my brakes? Check out my brakes. There's something wrong with the brakes. So he looked at it. He said, yeah, the brakes are gone. He says, they're gone. It's gone. Everything is gone. He said, not just the brakes are gone, but because you've left your brakes so long, you've actually damaged your discs. So you're now, where brakes would have been, I don't know, brake pads, 60, 70 quid, or maybe twice that, now it's over 200 pounds. Because now I left it so long, it's actually cost more. Can I tell you, when you leave unforgiveness, it's going to cause more damage than the offense that happened to you did. Think about it now. Someone has done you wrong, and yeah, that hurts. You've let me down. Why did you say that? You embarrassed me. You've hurt me. Maybe you've even violated me. And so that person, you know what? I'm sorry. So you extend them forgiveness, but you don't know. I'm not forgiving you. And you know you haven't forgiven people when you keep bringing it up. You haven't forgiven them when you keep bringing it up. Forgiveness means you wipe the slate clean. That means, imagine life is like a chalkboard and someone's offended you and you write their offense. You know, you said this about me, and you write it on the board. And then when you say you forgive them, what you've done is you've taken that and you've rubbed it off. You can no longer go back to it. It's been erased. Bitterness is keep revisiting it. Keep going over it. Bitterness. It makes the problem worse. Unforgiveness left. It makes the problem worse. You know,
The Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse 15, it says, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Wow. So it says, be careful, because, listen, you can miss God's grace. I mean, no, we don't want to miss God's grace. I need grace. I don't want to miss God's grace. I'm only getting to heaven through grace. I can't get to heaven because I'm good enough. So I better listen to what he's about to say here. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of God's grace. Okay, let me home in. What's he about to say? Lest any root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble, and by this many become ruined. The Bible is saying, listen, you better deal with the unforgiveness. Not just for their sake, because you do let them go and bring healing. But when you have bitterness, what it does is it actually becomes a root in you, and it starts to destroy you. We need to learn to say, I'm sorry. We need to learn to say, I forgive you. These words will bring healing in your marriage. Let me close with this. Being a spiritual person means that you already understand the dynamics of saying, I'm sorry and I forgive you. If you're a spiritual person, meaning that you're a Christian, you've given your life to Christ, you're on your way to heaven, that means you've already understand these two words. Because let me explain why. For you to become a Christian, it means you had to repent. You had to repent. You had to confess. You had to admit, I'm a sinner. You can't come to God and not admit that you're a sinner. You can't. Yeah, you know, sometimes I meet people, I say, how long have you been a Christian? All my life. I'm a spiritual person. No, well, you know what? You're not that spiritual, because you're contradicting the Bible. I was born. No, you can't be born a Christian, because Jesus said you've got to be born again. You was born a sinner, the Bible says. You was born into sin. I was born into sin. We have to be born again. And when we come to the place where we admit, I've done some wrong, Lord, I'm sorry. You have to understand the principle of sorry to even come to God. So for you to be a spiritual person, you already understand, I know how to confess my faults. The second thing, what we said, is not the sorry, but saying, I forgive you. Now that you're a Christian, now that you're following Christ, who are we supposed to be like? Christ. Some of you, like, you didn't know, like, Trump. No, not Trump. Not the pastor, no, no. To be a Christian, we're supposed to be like Christ. That's what it means. You're a follower of Christ. I'm imitating Christ. So now, I've said sorry, I've got saved, and now I'm going to be like Christ. Christ forgives me, so for me to be like him, I have to forgive you. So these are the two things. So the more spiritual you become, the better you become at these two things that will heal your marriage. It's like this. If I go to the gym and I get stronger and I can lift more weights, I go to the gym, so I your physique changes, you're more stronger, you're eating well, your posture's better. If I want to help my wife shopping and pick up the bags, I'm more equipped to pick up the bags. If I go to my job and my job has heavy lifting in it, I'm more equipped to do that. Going to the gym has now helped me do other things. It's actually benefited me in other areas of my life. It's just like if you've ever been in a job where you had a company car. Many of the jobs I had before pastor where you have a company car. So you use that car for doing their work, but then you take it home at night. And you can go do the shopping with it, and you can go on impact things with it, and you can do all types of things with it. Because you have the job, it helps other areas of your life. That is what spirituality does. The more I grow in Christ, the more it helps my marriage. This is why it is a contradiction for a good Christian to have a bad marriage. You cannot be a good Christian and have a bad marriage. No. Something's not right. How many know I can't be strong in the gym, hench, and I can't carry a loaf of bread? You'd be like, no. Something's gone wrong in that gym, bro. Yeah, but I'm in there every day. You'd be like, you're not doing the right thing. How many know you would say that? Like, yeah, I'm in the gym, I'm hench, I look big. Hey, bro, help me with this loaf of bread. Oh, God. Something's gone wrong. You cannot be spiritual
and you're loving Jesus and walking with Jesus and things are well with Jesus, and then in your marriage,
you don't know how to say sorry and you don't know how to say I forgive you. See, if you're struggling here with lifting the loaf of bread, don't blame the bread. Come over here and say, you know what? I need to fix what I'm doing here in the gym. Something in the gym is not right. And maybe what I need to do is I need to call a coach, maybe a PT, personal trainer. Maybe I need to get someone to show me what to do here. Well, I'm telling you, there's hope for us. It's because Jesus has already said, I'm going to send you a PT, a personal trainer. It is the Parakletos, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's training us and he's showing us. Listen, the Bible says in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit, this is what the Spirit's going to train you to do. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. As you submit yourself to the Holy Spirit and you allow him to train you, you have this love and his patience and his long-suffering and his kindness in your marriage. This is the beauty, that if I focus on myself spiritually, then it deals with things physically. Ephesians 5 verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God as a sweet-smelling aroma. The Bible says, be an imitator. So God, in your spiritual gym, the Holy Spirit is like, no. Don't just do this. The Holy Spirit is like, no, brace yourself. No. Keep your back straight. Okay, come down. That's it. Feel the weight and up you go. And that's what he's doing. He's training us to be spiritual. See, are you allowing the Holy Spirit to train you? Are you saved? Are you living for God? Because this is the thing. From time to time, people have called me for counseling that do not come to our church. And I'm not saying I wouldn't go. I will always go to anyone that needs help. But I realize, you know what? My counselor has done no good for them. Because you know what they really need? They need the Holy Spirit. They need the Holy Spirit. They need the Parakletos. They need the trainer. Because God has said to me, listen, I can tell you some principles. I've given you some basic principles today. Sorry and I forgive you. These are basic principles. But what I always do is I'm trying to give you basic principles, and then basically I'm going to tie them down to spiritual foundations. And I can counsel you from here till there. But unless the Holy Spirit, unless you want to be spiritual, my words will not help you. I said this recently somewhere else. I preached, maybe here. But I'll say it again, is that counseling cannot get you out of a problem that behavior got you into. If bad behavior got you into this problem, counseling will not get you out. You know what's going to get you out? Changing your behavior. You've got to change the behavior that got you into that problem to get out of that problem. And counseling is no more than this: helping you, strengthening you to change your behavior. Last scripture, Colossians 3 verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. This is the quality here. This is where the rubber meets the road. Is that if we would push more into Christ, if we would say, God, you know what? I want you to rule and reign in my heart. I don't want to just call myself a Christian. I don't want to just sound religious. But I want you to be my King, my Lord, my Savior. He will create in you a type of person that you will be able to. The love and the patience and everything you want, he will help you to. He's going to train you to fill your box with all the things you want. And over the years, you will be able to make the marriage you want. The things that me and my wife are pulling out of the box, can I tell you, we haven't put always the right things in our box. I cannot stand up and say, everything, no, come on, I'm human. I'm going to lie to you. But the reality is, we're taking things out of the box. And you may say, I want that in my marriage. I want that in my box. Well, the sooner you start putting it in, the sooner you can start taking it out. That's the reality. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.